Double parked on East 87th Street, he sat on the trunk of the Mercedes, thinking. Trying not to be distracted by the New York carnival, he was, nonetheless, by a businessman riding an expensive bicycle with a gas mask over his face. His system of empty pipes carried the sign, Non-Polluting Vehicle. The gas mask struck Berryman's fancy. Once he'd passed Joan Namath and his girlfriend on that same corner. Not a very pretty girl, she'd said. You don't have to hold my hand, to Namath. So much for fame and football. Berryman walked past buildings numbered 92, 94, 100 toward 86th Street. He paused at a city litter basket advertising a Midwestern beer. He rummaged through the trash, but there was nothing he could use to implement his plan. At a flashy boutique on 84th, however, he was given a fancy, plastic, carry-ball bag. It was perfect. It would become a mask. The glass front door of 88 East End was spray-painted Cool Whip 111. This was luxury New York style. Smoking a long rope cigarillo, Thomas Berryman walked inside. He was trying to look well-to-do and important, and he looked it. A heavy Puerto Rican security guard announced him from the lobby. The guard was stationed in front of a system of security monitors showing scenes like the garbage pails out back. The man was smoking a fat cigar, looking as official as a Banana Republic general. "A Mr. Ben Toy, yes, sir," he said into a small microphone. A clipped British voice bounced back from upstairs. "Mr. Toy, please come right up." "You can go up now," the doorman said with undaunted authority. As the elevator cruised efficiently to the 30th floor, Berryman carefully poked and dug holes in the plastic bag. The 30th floor hallway was carpeted, empty, luxuriously quiet. As Berryman looked for the apartment marked M. Romaine's, he slipped on the plastic bag. He pulled the tie cord and the bag closed over his head like a white cap's hood. Checking himself in one of the hallway's gilded mirrors, he had to smile. Both his eyes appeared in one thin slit. His mouth was a small black circle. He pushed Romaine's button and heard distant chimes. Presently, a man with a shaggy blonde haircut and pocked cheeks opened the door the length of a safety chain. "Well, you're obviously not Mr. Toy," he observed. "Who are you, a masked stranger?" Berryman laughed behind the bag. "I'd like it if you never had to see my face," he said in a slightly muffled voice. "I'm Berryman. Ben Toy is away on other business for me." "I suppose," the forger Romaine said. He slid away the gold chain. "I understood he wasn't playing with a full deck myself."
"Where'd you hear that one?"
"From a man, someone," the forger said. The living room Berryman entered was large and sunken. It was cluttered with hundreds of lithographs, some stacked against walls like discount art stores. Berryman unsuccessfully tried to take it all in without the aid of peripheral vision. Romaine's led him to a white cafe table. The table overlooked the East River and an immense neon soda sign. "You wish to exchange pleasantries?" The forger acted belligerent, but there was absolutely no expression on his puffy face. His eyes were sad and rheumy as a chicken's. Berryman shook his head. He barely looked at Romaine's. Mostly he examined the Hellgate Bridge. Then he started to explain what he wanted. "First," he said, "there will be three separate driver's licenses from three southern states. Georgia, South Carolina, not Tennessee." The forger made a one-word notation. "Second, there will be credit cards under the names on the licenses. At the very least, I want Diners Club and Bank AmeriCard." These two, Berryman knew, were the simplest to fraud. "Finally," Berryman said, "at least one of the credit cards must carry my photograph. The bank card, I suppose." M. Romaine's made a rigid chimney-stack steeple of his fingers and felt-tipped pen. He smiled.
"Photograph, Mr. Berryman?"
Berryman withdrew an envelope packet from his jacket. Romaine's removed the photo, holding it carefully by its edges. It showed a whiskey-nosed man with a blonde crew cut, middle-aged. This, he was certain,
was not a Thomas Berryman he would recognize. Of course, he made another notation, a photograph on one of the credit cards, a wise safeguard against theft.
There won't be any problem? Berryman asked.
The forger looked into the slit of eyes. No problem, he said. You must tell me when and where they must be delivered. I'll tell you how much, yes?
Thomas Berryman withdrew another envelope and handed over the $15 bills. Romaines counted the bills and nodded.
Good, he smiled. One half in advance is my requirement.
Now Berryman smiled.
No, my friend, he said. I'm trusting you with the full payment now.
I'll expect delivery in no more than 4 days, he said. He told the forger where the materials were to be sent.
After leaving the forger's building, Berryman walked up East End Avenue. He turned up 89th Street, walking very slowly to the flower and toy shop. He passed 6 or 8 young people circling around a dead man lying in his black raincoat on the sidewalk. Flies were buzzing over the man's face, and a psycho-looking girl was shooing them away with a New York Times. Birds and old men, Berryman thought, died terrible deaths in New York, much worse than anything he would allow.